Good evening and welcome to the Boldness on 3CR 8:55 AM. The Boldness is about lived experience of disability. My name is Raf and I am your host for tonight. Today we have been joined by Paul Stoney to discuss his master's in photography called Mirror. Welcome to the Boldness, Paul. How are you today?
Hi, Raf. How are you? Really well, thanks. Nice to see you again.
Yep, as a little quick little disclosure to viewers, I've known Paul for a long, long time, going back about 4 decades, and we reconnected a couple of years ago. Now, Paul, we'd like to tell listeners a little bit about yourself leading up to the photography.
Raf. Well, as you said before, we met at school 40 years ago. In the years since then, when I was 19, developed cancer, bone cancer, and ended up losing one of my legs. And a lot of sort of medical things in the middle of that, but among many things, I also became a prosthetist orthotist. So I was a person that made artificial limbs and taught people how to use them. Ended up being also a researcher in it and a lecturer at several different universities and worked in America for a long time at the University of California teaching. And then probably about maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I retired from prosthetics. I actually did a degree in engineering as well. But I'd always been a photographer since I was about 10 and just decided to do something completely different. So I did a master's in photography and the topic was really about, I think, exactly how you opened the discussion with and what I really wanted to try and portray is the lived experience of disability, which is, I think, so often missed and not really understood.
Yeah, Ben, one of the quotes that having a look through the images, there's a quote, to show the normalcy of life, and those physical changes don't change what you can do. They change your image, yourself, your picture inside of who you are. Why is it important to actually acknowledge that it doesn't change who you actually are, but it can change the internal thinking processes?
I actually think that's probably one of the best questions that anyone's ever asked me, and it's fundamental. The project was very interesting because it started at the start of lockdown, and this is what led me to, I think, really making that statement. I'd actually organised, I've looked after several thousand patients in my career, probably more, and it was going to be a study of amputees primarily and their lived experiences through photography, you know, then doing their daily things and living their lives. Please excuse my cough, Raf. But of course, with lockdown, you couldn't travel. So all of it went down the tubes. And one of my professors said, well, why don't you use yourself? Which was kind of a strange thing to think. But I did. And so the more I took pictures of myself, and it was a bit strange at first. Like a master's degree of selfies in a sense, but I realised that all through my life I'd really just done whatever I wanted to do and the amputation was kind of incidental. Like I still ride my horse and I've got my car's a 3-ton truck manual and I still drive that, no problem, and everything. But it made me really reflect on how the internal picture of myself had really changed the more I took photographs of myself, because I started seeing myself in a way that I'd never really seen myself before. So, yeah, that was the reason for that statement. And as I said, I think it's actually fundamental to the way people recover, the way they live their lives. I mean, I think probably one of the most critical things is the internal picture that you have of yourself, because it empowers you. It's almost the engine for whatever things you want to do.
And, Paul, with the heading of your master, it's called Mirror. Another quote which comes to mind is, I became interested to show images of the daily life of a person with a disability. Without this power held by the photography, I'm going to broaden that. With people with a disability, quite often the people who may be caring for a person with a disability, they actually hold more power than the person themselves. Why is it important to show the actual daily life, the reality of disability?
I think it's, again, a very good question. I think all my life, my experience of other people towards me was at one end, aren't you amazing and inspirational, to, oh, you poor thing. And but generally that sort of attitude. When it was my internal picture is, well, I'm just doing what I'm doing. Why is it saying, why is it inspirational for me to drive a manual truck with one leg and not you? Or me ride a horse with one leg and not you? When all the way, internally, I'm just, this is just me. I'm doing what I'm doing. The disability is from the outside looking in, but it's not me. You know, I don't really consider myself disabled. And I think the power thing is probably the most fundamental issue in photography. I mean, so many people have written about it, from Susan Sontag, famously. And there are so many exquisite examples of it in the media that a lot of listeners would know. For example, the image of the Afghan girl that was taken by a photographer called Stephen Curry. And he took it without any permission, and it became the face of war. And when this girl had no agency in the picture, and the guy made millions out of it, she got nothing, and it completely misrepresented her situation. She was just quite a happy kid in Afghanistan. Another one is very famous is The Migrant Woman by Dorothea Lange. And it's a picture of this woman with a couple of kids sitting in a car on this dusty road. And it's about the 30s, sort of Dust Bowl America. And it was put out as the face of poverty. When they weren't poor at all, the woman was just really pissed off because they had a flat tire and her husband had to walk miles to get it fixed. And so, and again, she got the photographer made a fortune out of it, and this one, nothing. So all the power in those examples, the simple examples, was just completely taken away.
And it leads into that in your masters, you're both the photographer and you're also the subject of the photos as well. How did that feel documenting yourself?
Well, as I said, it was very, at the start it was quite strange. But it was very empowering in the end because, as you just said, I was the subject, but I was also the one that was completely in control of whatever message I was sending. And I suppose, if anything, a picture is really, I mean, there's a million pictures, but the ones that really move you or you remember are ones that tell some story and that you can identify with. So it was really interesting being able to show pictures of myself. I mean, if the listeners could see, there was about 40 pictures in the thesis. But the pictures of me fixing an engine, riding a horse, dancing in the kitchen with my partner, crying at a desk one night because I was in a lot of pain, walking in the sea, just such normal things. It was really interesting being in control of and also being the subject.
Do you think that people with a disability are treated differently to other people in the community?
Difficult question to answer. I think it's definitely changed. For example, I'm on the Disability Advisory Committee for Yarra Rangers Council. And in the years I've been involved with it, the acknowledgement of lived disability is so vastly changed. I suppose technically I've been disabled for 42 years since I lost my leg. And there was outright, trying to think of a word. For example, I didn't get jobs because I had one leg. I wasn't allowed to go certain places because I had one leg. You weren't allowed to do certain things because you had one leg. Very changed now. So I think at one point, historically, yes, very, very much people with who identify with any disability are treated differently than what the normal, whatever normal is. Not so much now. I think the understanding of a person's lived disability is much, much deeper in the community. Still, it's got a long way to go, but I think it's much better. You know, there are, for example, there are things like even in the Yarra Rangers in Walkden where I live, there's businesses that come to us and say, can you show us what we can do to make access for people, for example, in a wheelchair easier, because we really want to. And 10 years ago, unheard of. And if it was done, it was because some business was forced to by the council, if the council even noticed. So just one little example. Even last week, a mob came to us and said, can you show us what to do? People setting up a new business, etc.
Yep, I can go back. I remember 30 years ago when I was at a community support group. I have an invisible disability. And we're looking at doing a plan of what I might want to do for my life. And I said to the worker, I just said, this is my actual plan. I've put myself in the middle of it. And these are the areas that actually interest me. And they turned around and did say to me, we don't know this. We only get to do, you get a choice of these activities is what you can do. This is a new concept to me. And that's actually one of the experiences which I've had with disability. Generally, people only see the disability. They cannot go through and the person as a whole. And I've gone off on a little bit of a tangent there. I'm now looking at a picture of where you're on the beach, and there is an organisation called Accessible Beaches. Going to the beach is something which it's a usual part of what generally people do in Australia is go to the beach. It's a very image, that one.
Yeah, it was interesting, actually. That particular image, it's funny, when I was younger, before I lost my work, I was a bit of surfy and, you know, up and down the coast, you know, Bells and Wingy Pop and all those beaches. And you just didn't think twice spending all day on the beach. But with one leg, it becomes really, really hard physically to do, even if you're fit and strong. And the water can be pretty scary because you've got so much less control. And that picture was actually the first time I'd walked in the ocean for about 40 years, and my partner took it. I have to admit, a couple of the pictures she took of me, but you know, it gives you an idea exactly along the lines of what you just said, that years ago, it's the first thing I said, oh, you know, I really want to go back to the beach. And I said, oh, you can't go in the water because your parts of your leg aren't waterproof. And try and go in the sea on crutches, it's just like next to impossible, unless you're Superman. But that new artificial leg that I was wearing came out only a couple of years ago and completely waterproof and powered. And so, you know, I could just walk as if I had two legs in the ocean. The most incredible experience. It was just mind-blowing just to be able to do something so simple.
Yep. Well, it's now time for us to play some community service announcements. Welcome back to the Boldness on 3CR, 8:55 a.m. We're talking with Paul Stoney about his master's in photography called Mirror. Now, from reading that master's, there's something called, this phrase comes back to me, nerve pain storm. What does that actually mean, nerve pain storm?
It's a particular thing for amputees. I mean, not just amputees. A lot of people with a whole range of disabilities have very altered sensation. With me, it presents that I have very, very bad phantom pain. So, which means that you can still feel, even though my right leg's gone, I can still feel like it's there. And so the nerves that, for example, used to go to my foot finish halfway up my thigh. But they still go to the part of the brain that used to represent my foot. And that area of the brain, it's part of the precentral gyrus, still gets stimulated. And so as far as it's concerned, it thinks my foot's still there. But sometimes those feedback loops get set up and it just essentially gets overstimulated and doesn't know how to interpret it except as pain. So you get these just incredible waves or storms, they're known as, of pain that can last for days sometimes. You know, it's often bad enough to be hospitalised. Not a pleasant phenomenon. But again, interesting comment you made before. A lot of disability is very hidden, and people, I think, often see me and just see an artificial leg. They just don't see any of the stuff underneath it that goes on. You're walking well today, but you don't. They don't never see how. Well, it took you an hour to get the thing on properly and comfortable, and you've been up all night because it was hurting so much, and you're tired, and you know, there's so many layers.
Putting it into a question, how vulnerable did you feel putting yourself out there as the subject of the master's, showing people what you're actually doing and letting other people into your life?
Yeah, good question. I suppose in a lot of ways it was, I mean, it was interesting. I think, though, let me put it this way. In a way, I think that my version of getting over losing my leg and having 50 operations and being very sick most of my life was to turn myself into this, dynamo advocate for other people with disabilities. So that's why I did prosthetics and engineering and most of medicine. And just I was so driven to get to have the best treatment for someone. And the patients I saw were generally the ones that no one else could fix or wanted to fix or even wanted to try and help in terms of walking prosthetics. I don't mean fix the person, but so in light of having done that most of my life, it wasn't hard at all because I was kind of already been doing it. But putting really personal things about my life into this exhibition, and a couple of thousand people came to it. I got hundreds of letters. It was hard, yeah, very personal, but really, really rewarding. I didn't get one negative comment, and I think, well, I was told several hundred times how much it had helped someone, particular person, for example, see things that they never even realised were there, and that they would view disability very differently from now on.
In a few words, as a disability advocate, how has it changed other people's lives with the way that you've been able to connect with others to assist them as part of your journey?
Well, I think it's exactly what your last question alluded to, that people, I think, because they've seen my work or had conversations or interactions with me, I know have been leading to a deeper understanding of what the lived experience is of a person with a disability, and there are obviously many. And I've been told that it's given them a whole lot more understanding and compassion and ability to empathise and help, think. So, I mean, I'd like to think it's been a positive experience for other people in general.
Yep. And also, Paul, where can people read your masters?
Well, there's copies that I mean, I can send copies to anyone that would like one. When you do a master's, there's always copies at the university that you studied at, and I did this particular one at Photography Studies College, which is in South Melbourne. And you can ring them up and just say, "Can we come and read it?" But yeah, I'm more than happy to email anyone a copy if they don't like it.
The Boldness would like to thank Paul Stoney for coming on and speaking about his master's mirror. It's been fantastic having Paul on the show. The Boldness would like to extend season's greetings. Happy New Year to everyone. And over summer programming, The Boldness is putting together a series, Meet the Ambassadors of International Day of Disability. Keep listening to 3CR. We're going to go out with a song, Access, Access by Johnny Crescendo. And if you don't think the revolution has started, you've been listening to the wrong station. This is 3CR, Voice of the People. Thank you for joining me tonight.